And they realize that they've got to get one of the people that are with them and put him in the back of the car. In the back, it says, hey, you don't hear what he tells them until the other guy gets in the back. And it's like, hey, you got to be careful with the guy you're sitting with. It's like, why? He's the leader of the Scorpion Kings. Snake Kings. And all through the scene, it's like the guy is just like, oh, really petrified. And I looked at that and I was thinking, that has got to be too awesome. I'm just waiting for the day that an officer invites me to be part of their car and I get to do the same thing. So anyway, last Saturday we started this initiative of what would courage look like in your homes. If you were to apply courageous living in your own household, what would that look like? And so this past Saturday we showed that movie just simply to say that one of the things we want to do as a church is we want to make a commitment before God that says we want to be courageous. Now for some of you, you're here this morning, you're thinking, I'm single and I'm not married yet, or I don't have kids yet. I just want to say, you know, maybe one day you'll be there. And so there's a lot of principles we're going to be sharing over the course of the next couple of weeks that hopefully will be impactful for you as well. And here in front of me, I have two different fish bowls. And for some of you here this morning, you're thinking, I really need this thing called courage. And I want to encourage you this morning. Here's two fish bowls, and one of them is a small one, the other one is a big one. And right here is a little fishy. And he's trying to make his way into the big fish bowl. For a lot of you, that's where you're at in life. You're in this environment right here, and you find yourself thinking, I need to stretch spiritually. Maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, I need to, you know, just stretch in my relationship with God. Maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, I need to stretch my relationship with my spouse. Maybe I need to stretch in my relationship with my kids. Maybe God is calling me to go from what's comfortable to what's uncomfortable. Maybe God is calling you to go from what you think is certain to uncertainty. To go from the known, that of which you know in your life, to go to the unknown. And tell you what, that journey is always a scary journey. It's always a scary journey. But a life lived out courageously can have such an impact in your life and in the people around you. Take, for example, Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 24, as a matter of fact. Joshua, most of you have heard the stories of Joshua, the historical accounts of him. Joshua, here's a man who loves God, who's been right beside Moses for so many years. For over 40 years, he's been right there alongside of Moses. And then one day, Moses finally dies. And he, in chapter 1 in Joshua, is right in the entrance of the promised land. And no less than 4 to 6 times, you hear the words, stand strong and courageous. Joshua would have to be courageous in his leadership. As he decided to lead a nation, he would have to be courageous. And then you find Joshua later on in chapter 3 to 4 being courageous as he entered the land. In front of him, just one thing, the ark, the very presence of God. And all they had to do is to follow it. And he would have to exercise an immense amount of courage. And then in chapter 6, he has to have the courage to follow God's battle plan. A silly battle plan, if you ask me. The walls of Jericho. You know, yes, and I think it's silly because of the people that he sends in front. He sends the pastors and the musicians in front. That's the kind of military I do not want to be part of. I'd rather be in the back, you know, people get injured. I'll pray for them, you know. After the battle scene is somewhere else. But no, he sends the musicians and he sends the priests or the pastors of the day. He sends them in front. And they go around the Jericho's walls. And then they blow a trumpet and the walls come tumbling down. A lot of courage to follow God's battle plan when it just didn't make sense. He had courage to confront sin around him. You see, by chapter 7, he confronts sin in the camp. People are lying, they're cheating. And he finds himself having to confront that sin because as a result of that sin, they're not able to win some battles. They're not able to take possession of the promised land. And so you see courage as he confronts them. You see Joshua with courage to keep commitments. surrounding the area of the promised land were the Canaanites. And in that people group, there's this other people group that they come to Joshua and they trick him. They say, hey, you know, will you give us a pass? You know, we want to set up an alliance with you. And he says, sure, why not? And then he later realizes that they actually live nearby and that God had called them to get him out of there, to eradicate him as well. But he's a man of commitment. He's a man of courage. And he says, I will follow my commitments, even if that means paying a price. And he's got the courage to keep commitments. And then he's got the courage to handle conflict within the camp. He's got the courage to face conflict face on, head on. He just confronts it, and he has got the courage to do that. But then, chapter 24, he's going to have a different kind of courage, the courage to lead in the home. Now, let's just say, you know, these are going to be his last words. So go to Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. That's where we're going to pick up this morning. Because this is the last initiative, the last thing that Joshua will say to the people here. Now, if you had a relative and they were on their deathbed and they were to say, come close to me. I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to share something to you. And this is going to be my last words that I'm going to share with you. What would you do? You would pay attention, wouldn't you? Maybe you would write it down. Maybe you would say, these are the words that I'm going to cling for years and years and years, and I'm going to remember these words. Those are important words, right? Well, Joshua reserves the best for last. Very, very important. And it's going to be courageous in the family. Go to verse 15. No, verse 14. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Pause there for just a second. Do you get the picture? It says, you know what? If serving God is so undesirable for you, it's so, you know, you just don't want to, you know, be all about God. If you just, it's so undesirable for you, just go choose something else. Go choose something else. We'll pick up on that in just a moment. It says, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I'm sure some of you have that little plaque that says this in your house. And when we put it up there, we're like, man, it's awesome. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But here Joshua is entering into a courageous phase. The last initiative he's going to take is to say, as far as me and my house, our very act of courage is going to be to serve God. And in this just couple of verses, we see a sobering warning and an inspiring challenge. A sobering warning and an inspiring challenge. And the sobering warning is this. Complacency is worse than rejecting God altogether. Complacency is worse than rejecting God altogether. Isn't that what we see in verse 14? It says, hey, you know, don't just stay lukewarm. Don't just stay just kind of apathetic about life in general. You say, no. Either you choose God, either your family would choose God and choose to chase after him and choose to follow him, or you would choose against it. But don't stay in the middle. Choose something. Later in Revelation, John would talk about this as well in chapter 3. He would mention it and as he talks about to the church of Laodicea, and he says, you guys are lukewarm. You're water that's not hot and you're water that's not cold. You're just in between, and God's going to spit you out. And I think Joshua is saying something very similar here, that he's saying it's better to go chase after other gods than to just be there lukewarm. I don't know about you, I hear that, I'm thinking, whoa, I don't want to be lukewarm. It's better to chase after other gods than to actually just be a family that is just complacent, just, well, God, yeah, sure, you know, check box, you know, I'll go every now and then, what have you, know, or yeah, I can do, you know, I'm good now, God. It's better to chase after God or chase after something else, but don't just stay there. It's better to be on fire for something than to be in fire for nothing. That's what Joshua is saying. He said, he draws the line and says, you choose. Don't stay in the middle. And for many of us, That's what we have to do in our families. We have to take ownership of our families. We have to take ownership of our marriages. We have to take ownership of our parenting. We have to take ownership of the family that's near us, whatever that is. Even if you're a single person, you have to take ownership of you. And you have to be able to say and make that choice. Will I be complacent? Or will I chase after God? Because at least if you're chasing after other stuff, other gods or other stuff that you're chasing, at least you live great right here, right now. And you have an awesome experience right now in life. The next might be a little bit different, but at least for now you'll. But to be in the middle, and maybe you understand what it means. I mean, for me, I mean, if I'm not chasing after God, if I'm not pursuing his heart, if I'm just lukewarm, just right there complacent, right in the middle, not doing anything with it or against it, it's miserable. And Joshua understood that it would take courage for you to chase after God. That real courage always starts at home, and that's the real challenge. And that's why I think he leaves it to the end. Because he's saying, you know what the real courage in life is? It's whether you're going to lead courageously in your own household. It's easy to step up in life. It's easy to step up in local politics. It's easy to step up, you know, even at church, it's easy to step up and serve. It's easy to help a friend. It's easy to do a whole bunch of things in the community. It's easy compared to the challenge of actually leading courageously at home. And Joshua is saying that, saying, don't stay right there. Jump right here. Jump into a courageous living experience in your own household. Don't just stay there. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? I want to continue. So go to verse 16. Because he's going to share with us how to be courageous in the home. Because this is a home passage. Well, it's twofold. When he says me and my household, he's talking about two things. He's talking about his tribe and where he comes from and he's a leader of, but he's also talking about his own house. So they're going to respond. It says, then the people answered, far it be from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. He said, no. Man, we're not going to serve other gods. Far it be for us to chase after other gods. It was the Lord of our God himself who brought us out and our parents out of Egypt. From the land of slavery. And so now they're reminiscing and they're saying, you know, it was God, the same God that got us out of the slavery. It was this same God that got us out of the slavery of the Egyptians. And maybe for you, you're here this morning, your family, you're thinking, this is the God that got me out of the slavery of addictions, of drugs, of porn, of whatever it might be, of bad habits. And you're thinking, he's the God that freed me from all that. And they're saying, why would I not serve the God that freed me? Me and my family serve the God that freed me. And then they move on. It says, and he performed those great signs before our eyes. He's the guy that performed all these miracles. They saw every single miracle. Several miracles that showed up. They saw it throughout the land. They saw it as you crossed the river. They saw a whole bunch of miracles. In other words, we've seen God work in our lives. Why wouldn't we serve our household to God? He said he protected us and our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. And so he step up and challenge to the challenge. They're like, our families, we will be with you, Joshua. We, our families, will also serve courageously. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you. After all, he has been good to you. How about that for a pep talk? And it's like, you can't do it. We want to do it. Yeah. No, you can't do it. But we can do it. We've seen the miracles. We saw him work. We've seen what his hand can do, the signs of wonders. We saw all that stuff. He brought us out. We saw the promised land, all that stuff. We can do it. No, you can't. Verse 21. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And he says, all right, I guess you can. Verse 22. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself, and you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord. the God of Israel. Throw away everything you're chasing. Throw away the drugs, women, alcohol, all this stuff. Throw it away, the shopping. No? Yeah? The shopping. Throw all that stuff away. Maybe not literally, but make a priority. Put your heart towards God. And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord and obey him." Fast forward to verse 29. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, not the son of a nun, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Just in these couple of verses, we see something pretty significant. We see what courageous families follow. In these couple of verses, we see what it means to go from somebody who's complacent in their walk with God and actually chase after his own heart. In just these couple of verses, we see the key principles on how your family can live courageously. And the first one is this. Courageous families follow God's promises into the unknown. Courageous families follow God's promises into the unknown. Do you think this is unknown for that little fishy right there? Yes, it is. This environment is comfortable, but courageous families follow God's promises from what is comfortable, from what is known, from what is familiar, and they say, we will follow and we will chase after God. That's why in verse 16 it says, hey, he brought us out of Egypt. He brought him out of what they knew, their surrounding, their circle. They knew Egypt very well for generations. They knew this place. And they followed a promise that there would be a better land. They followed a promise that God had given, that the land they were going to enter into was going to be flowing with prosperity. And they said, we're going to chase after that. We've never seen it. We've never been part of it, but we're going to chase after it. But complacent families say, we stick to the status quo. Complacent families say, we stick to the status quo. A complacent family says, we're just going to stay here in the comfortable. We're going to stay here in the familiar. We're going to stay here where I know the rules. That's a complacent family. And I believe what the nation of Israel is telling Joshua here in the context of family is saying, hey, we too, we want to follow God's promises into the unknown. We don't want to stick to the status quo. We don't want to stick to what is expected of us from this culture. We want to live for more. See, courageous families say, grab your stuff and let's go. Grab your stuff and let's go. Just like they did in Egypt. Just like they did in Egypt. Just like they did in Egypt when Moses came to them and says, let's go. And they said, we're going to follow God's promises into the unknown. We will pack our little bags, you know. We're going to get those U-Hauls. We're going to put everything in there. And we're just going to go out there. And they go. And they go to a land that they don't know. They've only heard just glimpses of it. And they're saying, our family, we're gonna follow God's promises into the unknown. We're going to grab our stuff and we're going to go. Because the truth about the unknown is this, and that is that the unknown is not unknown to God. And for some of you, you're in life right now, and you're scared, and you're thinking, I don't know how I got into this. And guess what? You're unknown right now. God knows it. It's not unknown to God. But also, he's there before you even get there. You're unknown. Whatever challenges God is calling you to do, he's already there. He's already working. He's already working financially. He's already working in your lives. He's already working before you even get there. He's already there. But courageous families follow God's promises into the unknown. Do you know God's promises? If you were to do an inventory in your life and say, okay, what promises does God have in store for me? Would you be able to say what God's promises you have to hold on? No longer must we be a family unit that doesn't know what God has promised. You've got to know. Second of all, God's courageous families follow God's power into the impossible. Courageous families follow God's power into the impossible. Notice in Joshua chapter 24, verse 17. You see a description there, just in those few verses. It says, it was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. And in essence, what they're saying is, if we saw God at work, we saw him working in the nation, we saw him working with our people, and we know he can work also in our families. That same power, the same power that had frogs all over the place. How about cleaning that mess up? You know, the water just bloody. The same God that parted the Red Sea. And as they walk in there, if the cartoon is correct, you could see the little fishies and the little sharkies. That's a cartoon, but the same sign that when Moses hit a rock, water came out of it. They saw the signs, the bread, the Jewish tortillas coming out of the air, you know, the manna. It looks like tortillas, so I would have been happy. Give me some avocado and I would have been getting hungry now. All right, I'm digressing now. But they saw that. They saw the little, you know, the birds coming in and just grabbing distance, and they grabbed those and they ate. They saw that the power of the impossible happen over and over again. See, a complacent family says it can't be done. A complacent family says, no, that's too hard. God can't do that. Complacent family says, you know, I'm going to stick to my fishbowl because I know my little fishbowl. Complacent family says, you know, it can't be done. God can't break the power of the stuff that has lured my heart. Complacent family says, it can't be done. God can't provide, you know. He provides for other people, but woe is to me. He can't. He can't break the link of the addiction that I have. He can't, you know, he can't do that. He doesn't show up anymore. He can't heal my family. He doesn't show up anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. That's New Testament. Jesus, I'm not Jesus. He doesn't perform miracles anymore. It's a complacent family that puts God in a little box that says, God, I can only hold you in this little fishbowl, and this is where I want you to work. Don't show up over here because, it's impossible. It can't be done. Are we showing that to our kids, as families? When they come to us with their challenges, do we tell them, you know, you're not smart enough, you know? You're only 5'7". That's not wounds that I'm sharing. You're only 5'7" and have a thick accent, you know. You can't, you know, just kind of stay, you know, you can't go to school. Nobody in my family has gone to school, so you can't go to school. No, don't. Complacent family say it can't be done. You know, if that was the case, you know, I would never go beyond high school. My mom had 7th grade education and my dad had 5th grade education. And if there were a family that would have said, it can't be done, this is where I still would be, probably. We families have such a power of influence over our kids. A power of influence over them. Complacent families says it can't be done. You see, that's the coward's detour, isn't it? Cowards get angry at God and quit. Cowards take the easy way out. Cowards always think they know best. But there's a challenge for more. Because you see, courageous families say this, with God, the battle is already won. With God, the battle is already won. Are we doing that in our households, in our families? Do we share to our kids, the battle's already won? I know you're struggling with that, but you know what? God has already given you victory in Christ. You can overcome it because Christ can live through you and overcome it through you. The courageous route is courage takes Scripture seriously. Courage obeys even when it's scary. Even when you're jumping from one circumstance, from one family, from one place into the other, courageous says the battle has already been won. I'm going to jump it. I'm going to go in there where God is calling me. Because courage obeys even when it's scary. Courage trusts God, not self. And I think that's what Joshua was doing. He said, you know, you can't do it. He tells him, and says, no, we can't do it. No, don't even go there. Why? Because he knows he can't do it. They can't do it with their own strength. They can't be a courageous family. They can't without God supernaturally getting in the middle of it, in the middle of the family, in the middle, in the thick of it. That's why further on in verse 23, he says, "Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Because after all, it's when you throw your heart towards him. It's only when you throw your heart to him that the battle is won. He overcomes it for you. You don't fight it. You just go along with it. And he overcomes it by his strength, by the same strength and power that he had to perform dozens of miracles. But also, courageous families follow God's plan for the future. They follow God's plan for the future. And we see that in verse 19. We see that all throughout, from verse 19 and onward. It says we want to do it. We want to be a courageous family. We've seen all courage displayed over the course of the last couple of chapters. We've seen it. We want to enter into this phase of courageousness. You see, complacent family says, it's all about now, and it's all about me. That's what complacent families do. Families that do not lead courageously in their own households. It's all about now. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about my needs. And a courageous family says, it's all about the needs of the people around me. Courageous family says, no. It says, it's about the future and it's about my family. It's about the future and it's about the family. That's a courageous family. They follow God's plan for the future. They saw the plan that God had for them fulfilled before their eyes. And they knew that they would also have promises in their family that they could hold on to and live through as well. If something is not worth making a commitment for, then it doesn't really have much worth to you. If something is not worth making a commitment to, then it doesn't have enough worth for you or to you. Joshua understood this. That's why later on in the passage it says, you've made a commitment. You've testified. You made a commitment before God that you're not going to do this. In verse 22 it says, and Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. In other words, you've made a commitment. You've made a commitment. Where are you, TRBC? Where is your family? Do you have a courageous family? Forget about the past. Today, do you have a courageous family? Are you being strategic and proactive in your own families? More than anything, God desires for your family to not to be lukewarm, not to be complacent. He doesn't want you to just to be in limbo with your family. It's very clear. He sets the line and he says, you either chase me full-heartedly after me, or chase after something else. Because at least if you chase after other gods, you'll have momentary pleasure. But don't stay in the middle. And for many of us, we're right in the middle. We're too chicken to go the other way. We're like, well, if I really deviate from him, I'm going to get, God is going to say, knucklehead, you hit me on my head. But I'm a little too scared to really just go all in with God, because people start changing when they're all in with God. So I'm just going to be here in the middle. And Joshua is saying, no, have enough courage. Do not be complacent. And to chase after me as a family. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about what that means. We'll talk about marriage. We'll talk about parenting. We'll talk about making right choices in your family. And then, on Father's Day, every father, husband, future husband, there's going to be an opportunity to make a resolution before God. If you go to your bulletin, you look at the back, there's the resolution. The movie, Courageous, had this resolution. We're going to give an opportunity to every man. Every man who's got a family or who is about to enter into family to have an opportunity to make a resolution before God. Let's pray. Lord Father, we do pray, Lord, that that you would move our hearts, Lord, that we would not be chasing after our own stuff, that we would chase after you. Help us not be complacent, Lord. You've called us for more. You've called us to live a lifestyle that is radically different than the world around us. For many of us, we've been in safe environments. For many of us, we've just gone with the status quo. We've done what everybody else does. There's no difference between us and the next person around us. Father, this morning, we recognize our complacency, and we chase after you. Change us, move us, lead us, Lord, to be families that demonstrate great courage, that demonstrate the reality of your Son leading in our lives.